Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thank you very much, Madison. Welcome, 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 everyone. It is Martin Luther King Day. It's a national holiday, and many of you, I know, had today off from work, but I am here. This is live. This is WBZ. My name's Dan Ray, and this is Nightside, as Madison Rogers has just explained. Madison and Dan Watkins are handling the newsroom duties tonight, and Andrew Rich is in for Rob Brooks, who is taking the holiday off as well. And so I'm here, you're there, and we have several topics that we'd like to explore with you tonight, and I can only explore them with you if you join into the conversation. During the second hour tonight, we're going to focus on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, who will be talking with his niece, Dr. Alveda King. She will join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, which, of course, means right after the 9 o'clock newscast. And we'll also be joined later during that hour by Horace Cooper of Project 21 and explore what Dr. King might be doing today. He would have been, I think he would have been 92 years of age, if I'm doing my math correctly. It's amazing to think that, at least for those of us who remember the assassinations of the 1960s, it's amazing to realize that it will be 60 years since John Kennedy was assassinated, within a couple of years from now. Dr. King has been gone now over 50 years. As has Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and hopefully we will never see a spate of assassinations like that again in our country. But those of us who experienced the 1960s and the tumult, I think one of the things, of course, we learned was the horror of the 1960s, but also the resiliency of this country and that we were able to pull out of that horrific time. We're in another time, I think, where a lot of people are losing faith, but that's part of the reason I do this show, is to try to encourage people to keep the faith in the United States of America. This country has been through a lot. Generations have been through a lot. So we'll talk about Dr. King's legacy at 10, and then at 9, and then at 10 o'clock tonight, we'll talk for an hour from 9 to 10, and then at 10 o'clock tonight, we will have back a guest who we've had on before, Professor Gregory Stoller. He is a business school professor at Boston University, what they call the Questrom School of Business, which is an up-and-coming business school. He himself is a graduate of Harvard Business School, and he's an expert on China. And we're going to talk a lot tonight, a little bit later on, about what role will China have in relation to the United States, and particularly in relation to the new administration. Joe Biden on Wednesday becomes the 46th president of the United States, and hopefully that goes without a hitch, without a problem of any sort. And we'll talk about that later on this week. But first hour tonight, I'd like to pick up on a piece that was in the Boston Herald. Lisa Kaczynski. I always like to credit the folks from the printed medium when they write a piece that we use as kind of a conversation point. Charlie Baker's fundraising picks up as the 2022 governor's race looms. Well, the 2022 governor's race is still, in reality, a year and a half away. But as we found, months can pass. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years pretty quickly. So Lisa Kaczynski, in her article in the Herald, which I think was on Saturday, but it may have appeared in the papers on Sunday. It's dated January 16th, Saturday, took notice of the fact that Governor Baker brought into his campaign coffers $165,419 in December. I always don't understand how they get to those odd numbers. I mean, did somebody give you $9 or somebody? I don't know, whatever. That is up dramatically from what he had raised the month before. In November, the governor raised $885. So this amount of money, the $165,000 in December, the most that he's raised in a single month in over 2 years. Got to go back prior to the November 2018 election. Now, the question is this an indication that the governor is going to run for a third term? I'm pretty convinced that after all of this, Governor Baker probably is going to say, hey, two terms is quite enough. But I could be wrong, and I'd love to hear from those of you who either agree or disagree. Ironically, last month, the governor's haul, which was a lot, $165,419, was eclipsed just by a few hundred dollars, by about $500, by his lieutenant governor. She raised, Karen Polito, raised $165,944. I'm beginning to wonder if they might have had some joint fundraising activities, because those numbers are pretty close. Well, ironically, the lieutenant governor has a campaign war chest of nearly $2 million, $1.9 million. That is more than three times Governor Baker's political war chest, which is a little less than $600,000. Now, there are no Democrats who have announced as yet, at least substantial Democrats. There's a political science professor from Harvard who raised a lot of money in December. She raised, a woman's name is Danielle Allen. She raised $136,000. And then there's another Democrat, I guess, I don't know, I've never heard of this fellow, Scott Corey. His campaign is rolling along. He loaned himself $20 last month. So I don't think he's going to represent much of a threat. So what I'd like to talk about tonight is I know that there are people out there who have strong feelings towards Governor Baker one way or the other. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us what you think. And do you think Charlie Baker deserves a third term? Should he run for a third term? And if he did run for a third term, would you support him? Because if he runs for a third term, I'm sure he will be unopposed. And Karen Polito certainly is not going to run against him. And I don't know that any other Republican would take him on. If he did run for a third term, would you vote for him again? Especially if you voted for him before. So a bunch of questions, a little local politics here in the first hour to get us going on this Monday night, this very chilly Monday night. As Madison Rogers says, it's 36 degrees out. Well, I was out around 6 o'clock tonight, and it felt a lot colder than 36 degrees. I mean, there's a pretty good wind out there. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I know some of you think it's odd we're talking about a governor's race that is a year and a half or more than a year and a half away, and we're only 2 days away from Joe Biden's inaugural. We'll get to Joe Biden's inaugural, I promise. That is for sure. And let us hope that it goes without a hitch, as I said. Join the conversation. Charlie Baker, should he run for a third term? Does he deserve a third term? And would you support him for a third term, particularly those of you who may have voted for him in the past? Nightside, Dan Ray, in, live. We are live and local right now, ladies and gentlemen. Can't be any more live than I am right now. And if you don't believe me, give Andrew Rich a call, and he'll talk to you live as well.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
All right, so should Charlie Baker run for a third term? By the way, we have... the ladies' line is wide open, 617-931-1030. The other lines are full, but 617-931-1030. Ladies, jump on board. Peter and Norton. Hi, Peter. Welcome. First this week,
hey.
First tonight on the Ring Central
Nice
Side Caller Line.
Been?
Good,
hey,
Peter.
Dan,
how are you?
That's right. Charlie Baker deserves to run a third term because he has done a great job in this pandemic, keeping us safe and sound in Massachusetts, keeping us away from the pandemic. And listening to his rules of the governor, and when the governor speaks, I watch and I take his actions by wearing a mask, being safe, and be vigilant, and doing the right stuff to end this pandemic. And hopefully, it'll be sooner than later, so we can get all back to normal. Thanks to the vaccine, it's going to be back to normal.
Peter, let me ask you: have you had a chance to donate to the governor's campaign coffers? You are the most enthusiastic supporter I've heard in weeks. You got to get, you know, write a little check or something to his campaign.
That's right. Yep.
All right, Peter, nice to talk with you. Have a great night. Peter was, he was a little wound up. Let's go to Wayne in Rossendale. Hey, Wayne, how are you tonight? You're on a Ring Central Night Side caller line. I don't know that I've ever had Peter before on the phone. Hi, Wayne.
Well, how are you, Dan? I'm doing well. Not as enthusiastic about Peter, but we like to hear it. Dan, I'm a fan of term limits, so I like what other states do, and when you can run for, you know, election, then re-election 8 years, you do your service, and that's it. But I have to say, obviously, I consider myself a, you know, conservative Republican, Dan. With living in Massachusetts, it's difficult. You know, I've been critical of Governor Baker sometimes and some of his policies. So I personally think that he should you know, step aside, shouldn't run for a third term. The problem with it being, Dan, is that there's a short bench in terms of, you know, Republicans and who can actually get elected statewide here. Now, I look at someone who I'd love to see as a potential candidate and a guest of your show many times, Sheriff Tom Hodson down in Bristol County. That's someone that I would love to see perhaps take on, who we know.
There's also a sheriff out in Worcester County, Lou Evangelides, who I think would be a really solid candidate for a statewide office. But you're right. The Republican Party is they're in the dumps here, and I don't know. Maybe the governor would like to take a shot. I could see the governor running for U.S. Senate. You know, Ed Markey just got elected, and I don't think that the party's the Democratic senior senator. I don't think that she is up until 2024, and I'm not sure that he could take. I think he'd be a formidable candidate against her.
Yeah, it certainly would be interesting. And I just, even if Charlie Baker doesn't run, you always have to look at it, Mara Healey. I think Mara Healey is waiting for the governor to step aside because she knows probably she'd have to spend a whole lot of money regardless, but even more if she were to take on Governor Baker. Dan, when I see these fundraising numbers, I look at it that perhaps Governor Baker, you mentioned the Senate, I'll even go a step further. Perhaps he thinks there's a lane for a moderate Republican to run for president. You look at Larry Hogan in Maryland. You look at
I think that the National Republican Party, in terms of a presidential candidate, I think they have had governors before. Obviously, the one that you think of most readily is Ronald Reagan, who was successful. The last Republican governor who had the name governor before his name was Mitt Romney. He had left the state house to run for president. I don't know. I think that, I mean, if Charlie Baker ran for Senate or if something were to occur where one of the two incumbent Democrats were to be elevated or asked to join the Biden administration, and he could appoint himself to the Senate, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. All right,
yeah,
Wayne.
Certainly an interesting.
I appreciate it. So the bottom line is you are a term limits guy, but despite that, if he ran for a third term, you'd support him.
Well, it would depend on who's, you know, running in the primary and then who would the Democratic challenger be. Dan, if it's Baker versus Mara Healey, put it this way, I'm going to vote for Governor Baker if he runs again.
Well, I don't think he would have a serious challenger in the Republican primary. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate your call. Have a great night.
Thank you, Dan. Have a good night.
Let's go to Alex in Haverhill. Hey, Alex, welcome. Next on Nightside on the Ring Central Nightside Auto Line. Alex?
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
I've been great. Well, Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you in a while.
You know, we got to share the wealth. You are a state treasurer. But, you know, would I vote for Charlie Baker? No. As a son of immigrants, the man is leaning more and more authoritarian. You know, I see friends or businesses closed. Would I vote for Charlie Baker? The man has no coattails. He has a Nehru jacket. He has an Eisenhower jacket. You know, if you stand next to Charlie Baker, you're running for office, your friends on social media are like, you know, I was going to vote for you, or this is going to make it difficult for me to vote for you. The man is a political kiss of death. If I'm a Democrat, yeah, I'll stand next to Charlie Baker because I get elected. The man has done nothing to grow the party. Good luck if you want to run for president, because I will certainly get calls from my friends down south and talk about the real Charlie Baker.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of his followers have no idea that your word is your bond in Alabama and Georgia.
So let me ask you this. Okay, from what you see, and I know that you're a Republican activist, do you think that he – what do you read into this fundraising spike in December that's been reported in the Herald?
I think he's bored because he realizes he has no future. Run for Senate, I'm not going to support him because your basic person that does the work that I do is not going to do anything. As a Latino Republican, his record is atrocious.
So you'd vote for Elizabeth Warren? Alex, you'd vote for Elizabeth Warren over Charlie Baker?
I'll leave it blank. I mean, what's the difference between the two of them? They're both two sides of the same corrupt political coin.
Okay. All right. So we got two people who say they kind of like, well, one, PETA loved him, and Wayne is kind of ambivalent, and you're certainly no fan of Charlie Baker. Alex, as always, great to hear your voice. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Talk soon. Come back soon, will you? Don't be a stranger.
I will.
Have a great night. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Again, it's a Monday night, cold Monday night. I was watching, I guess, Channel 4 tonight, and they were saying that on average, this is the coldest night of the year, generally, you know, on an average, if you took all the different years. If you can look at it, that it's going to be, and it's been a lot colder than this, by the way. It's been a lot colder than this. But we're going to try to keep you warm and try to keep you entertained between now and midnight. As I mentioned, we'll be talking with, coming up at 9 o'clock, evangelist Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, and talk about his life and legacy a little bit in the 9 o'clock hour. But I want to talk Massachusetts Republican politics. I actually do believe that there are Republicans in Massachusetts. I'm sure they're not feeling particularly good right now, in that this Wednesday, Joe Biden will become the 46th president of the United States. But there is a governor's race coming up in 2022, and believe it or not, there is already some suggestions that Charlie Baker might run for a third term. I don't think he will. That's what my gut instinct tells me. I suspect he probably hasn't firmly decided. He can. He's not prevented from running. So my question to all of you tonight is, one, would you like to see Charlie Baker, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, run for a third term? Would you support Charlie Baker? And if you have supported him in the past, would you continue to support him? He has had very good favorability ratings, but I'd just love to know from you right now, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, if Charlie deserves a third term, because he raised a lot of money in December, and that is stoking the suggestions that maybe he is going to go for a third term. I don't think so. Love to know what you think. Coming back on Nightside, and we'll give the ladies line again, 617-931-1030. Join the conversation. We got a couple of open lines coming back on Nightside.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Thank you, Madison Rogers. We are at about 8:34, if my clock is even close to correct. 8:34 here in Boston, all up and down the East Coast of America. My name is Dan Ray, host of Nightside, talking about Charlie Baker's political future. A popular Republican governor in Massachusetts, I'm not sure he's going to run for a third term. I mean, second term, been there, done that. First term, been there, done that. I don't know. Again, he did have a spike in his fundraising, as reported in the Boston Herald over the weekend, which has caused some to speculate that, hey, he may be in it for four more years, beginning in 2022. But just getting your thoughts. Heidi in Boston. Heidi in Boston, you're next on the Ring Central Nightside Caller Line. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Hanging in there on a cold Monday night in the middle of January.
I know. I'm trying to stay in. But I'm calling about my Governor Baker. He is my governor, and I love him.
He's everyone's governor, but it sounds to me when people say that,
I am Democrat, and I voted for him.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't matter about the party. I don't care nothing about the party, whether it's Democrat or Republican. What I like the man because he's truth to power. He speaks truth to power, and I love that about him.
So give me an example, if you could, Heidi, when you say, you mean, I guess, the fact that as the governor, of course, he's very powerful. He spoke truth to Donald Trump in your mind. Is that what you're referring to?
That's right. He stand up. He stand up when others, when other Republicans scared to speak up. He speak up. When the virus came, he did what he had to do. He shut down.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I think by him shutting down, he saved many a life. People may not see it that way, but just imagine if he had played the same role that Donald Trump was playing. How many business places would have been infected with that with the virus, and how they and others might have got died. He saved many a life, and I love him for that. He gave his briefing every day to keep us informed of what's going on and what steps he's taken. And I love that about it. He didn't hide anything. You know, I look at it this way. When people speak the truth, people, you know, you tell them the truth, they don't believe you. You tell them a lie and they want to be gullible. He was telling the truth. You just got to listen and be patient and just follow along and try to work with him. That's all it is. It ain't have nothing to do with whether he's a Republican or whether he's a Democrat. He's a good man and he's a family man. I love him because he tells the truth, period.
All right, I got you.
I hope he's running again because I will vote for him.
All right, Heidi.
I don't care who he's running again.
Heidi, let me ask you, have you called the show before? Is this your first time?
This is my second time calling.
Well, you keep calling, okay? I love your spirit and I love you.
I listen to you every night and I listen to people go back and forth with different issues and stuff. I sit here on my little stool in my kitchen and I listen to you all every night.
Well, thank you
very much. But, you know, tonight I had to call up because I am for him and I will vote for him. I like what he's doing. I like that he's telling the truth and he's standing up for truth.
All right, Heidi, great call. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon. Happy New Year, okay?
Same to you.
Stay well. Bye. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. All right. Well, so far, Heidi sounds like a Democrat who's with Charlie Baker. Okay, he has appealed to Democrats. There's no doubt about that. Let's go next to Joe in Canton. Joe, next on Nightside. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you?
Doing just great. We're talking about Charlie Baker. Again, that story in the Herald over the weekend suggested that he had a real spike in his fundraising and that maybe he is looking at a third term beginning running for the third term beginning about, you know, a year from now. What do you think?
I think that, I'm not surprised, but I'm just disgusted that today, out of all days, we got to talk about this governor and not anything pertaining to Black Lives Matter or Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, I think if you stick around until 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Glad to hear that.
I guess you weren't listening at the beginning of the show.
I weren't. No problem. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But as far as the governor, I actually reside in Rhode Island. I'm not positive about how much he's done, but I would just like to see more support.
More support
regarding the movement. You know, sometimes like the other night, you bring up the fact that we had to discuss the AG that is black in a negative manner and what we thought about that. But tonight, you know, something in honor of him, I think you could have got something better tonight out of us.
Well, first of all, let me again remind you that you're more than welcome to join us at 9 o'clock. I think you'll enjoy the 9 o'clock hour. The conversation we had on Friday night dealing with Rachel Rollins had nothing to do with her skin color. It had everything to do with how
that
she...
That was the topic of discussion, though. That was the topic. If you remember me calling, it wasn't about, her acting indifferent of her position or as if she was right or wrong or abusing her power. The topic of discussion was the fact that she was you know, felt threatened. She's a black woman, and you was appalled or not confused about why she was bringing up race. And well, that became the topic.
Let me just say this. She brought up, there was a story, for those who may not have heard on Friday night, and I'm not going to cut you off, Joe. I'll give you every opportunity to respond. For those who might not have listened on Friday night, Rachel Rollins had been involved in what was described in the newspapers as a bit of a road rage incident where she got into a disagreement with another woman. I have no idea who was right and who was wrong. I wasn't there. I said that the other night. Right. Channel 25 in Boston decided to do a news story. They found the other woman and interviewed her, and then they went to Rachel Rollins' house in an effort to interview her. And then they played in its entirety. A lot of times we accuse the media, and it's an accurate accusation, of taking things out of context. They played an entire strip of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of video where a young producer approached the district attorney, and the district attorney launched on her, in both in the conversation with the young producer and in some tweets. She brought up the race issue, that the photographer was a white guy, and
correct,
and all of that. And I think that when you, that had nothing to do with what the issue was. The issue was how she responded. If she had, let's say, said to that producer, gee, this is not the time or place, I'd invite you to call my press person, here's the office number, and I promise you I will sit with an interview for you or your reporter, but for now I'm going to say goodnight, there would be nothing to criticize, Joe.
She could have probably handled it better, but, I mean,
that's the point.
We're not in her shoes. She's
well,
a woman,
it doesn't matter
one.
If you're
She's
in...
Black,
Joe,
two,
whoa, Joe, hold on for 1 second, Joe.
She felt threatened.
Joe, first of all, she...
You have to be understanding
Joe,
in this time.
Joe,
like,
hold on.
Understand.
Hold on. Let me just ask you a question. Okay, she's a district attorney. I don't care if she's white, black, male, female, polka dot, whatever. She's there with a Boston police officer, not as her bodyguard, but to make sure that no one bothers her, because when you're the district attorney, you're supposed to put bad people in jail.
I understand
Oh, right. And so
she's worried about how she's being portrayed as a black woman, and you're there in front of her house. I mean, we just have to be understanding. I don't know if you're married in, but I mean, to make a marriage work, you got to be understanding. And this, out of all times that we're in, I think that's how we should be, you know, moving forward.
So
just like Biden said, to be united, let's be more understanding.
Well, here's what I want to be understanding of. I want to be understanding that people who run for public office, I don't care what their political party is, they need to be responsible and they need to be responsive. Now, if she had never gotten into this incident on Christmas Eve, there never would have been a story. And if she had taken the opportunity that day or that afternoon of not, in effect, asking the young woman, what's your name? What's your name? And the young woman, by the way, said, I'll be happy to give you my name. The young woman was more composed than the district attorney.
I heard the soundbite. Absolutely.
Good, right. And I would invite you, by the way, and I mean this seriously, Joe, if you have a chance, go back to the Channel 25 website. They have the entire story up there. It's very rarely do they put up something of that duration. And to be fair to her, there was nothing taken out of context. I think that she behaved poorly under those circumstances. I've invited her. She's been on my show before, and she's more than welcome to come in and explain that. But the point is, race on that issue, she was the one that was raising the racial issue. She was saying, oh, the guy got out of the car, he was a white guy with a mask. Well, guess what? Everybody's supposed to wear a mask now publicly. What's the he's a photographer. He's assigned to do the story.
All the context and all that she's saying, I mean, she was aggressive. Yes, we can condone that. But like I said, we got to put ourselves in other people's shoes. The years and centuries and all this time of being oppressed genetically, like, we are hostile. Like, we have to
I think, no, Joe,
yes.
I don't, look,
yes,
I don't think that
hostile.
Is not true. That is not true. Joe, you've just said to me something, Joe, that's really dumb. You've just said, pardon me for saying that that way, but you've just said to me that black people are genetically hostile. That's absurd. Black people are no more genetically hostile than white people or Asian people.
You have white privilege. How are you hostile when you have to fight for your rights? When you're innocent, when you're guilty, before you even proven innocent. I mean, come on, let's look at the facts about what's going on in this country.
Again,
man.
I think, Joe, if you think about it, you have made a racially divisive comment about, I'm assuming you're black because you've been using the word we, okay?
I'm half black and white. And you know what? I will take that back. I said that wrong. I will.
Okay,
take
good.
That
thank
back.
You.
All
for,
saying,
thank you for.
I,
thank
I do
you for doing
I
that.
Do
you're a gentleman.
On how she spoke. I think she does need responsibility for that. But all I'm saying is just be understanding about her situation. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's fine. What should
be held accountable if she's abusing her position regarding writing the lady ticket or holding her accountable or the road rage or whatever, the fact that we got into the racial thing is what I'm saying. It's not right. That's what's not right.
She put it into the racial thing. What are we supposed to do?
Because,
turn around and
I
say
mean,
because...
Come on, look, she's a woman.
So let me ask you this, okay?
Any city official shouldn't have the news at their house. I don't agree with that. There needs to be boundaries.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that boundaries, when you run for public office... When you run for public office and you stand for public office, you put yourself out there, Joe. I'm not saying that it's always fair. I'm not saying it's always fair, but I don't think she's comported. That's why I did that story, period. But anyway, Joe, I'm glad you called back. We've done
appreciate that.
Almost 9 minutes. You're the longest call of the night, and, which is fine. And you know standard is. I would much prefer to give someone like you an opportunity who feels... And I
have to say, because of your response, I'm going to keep listening.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe, and I hope you keep calling, too.
Definitely. Have a good night.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great night. Good night. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Coming back on Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right. I know the call, Joe, went fairly long, but I love to give people an opportunity who want to criticize. And Joe was a gentleman and engaged in a conversation. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Back to the topic at hand, and that is Charlie Baker. Should Charlie Baker, in your opinion, run for a third term in 2022? That's what the Boston Herald is suggesting on over the weekend. They're suggesting that his spike in fundraising activity in December of 2020, a significant spike, indicates that maybe he is thinking about a third term. I don't think we have had a third term governor in Massachusetts in a very long time. Mike Dukakis did serve three terms in the governor's office, but he served one, then was defeated, and then came back and served two more, being elected in 82 and 86. Let's go next to Gene in Brookline. Gene, welcome. You're next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fine, Gene.
Well, I felt like I had to try to Heidi was like, her name was Heidi, right? Who was Miss Go-Go cheerleader.
Well, there were several people.
Oh, my
people.
God. She's going to be a tough act to follow. But sure. Then just listening to Joe, I feel like I'm frivolous from where he was coming from.
You're not frivolous. Did you say you feel you're frivolous?
I will, because it seems like he wasn't so in this mindset about Rachel Rollins, and I don't think he ever really answered your question about Governor Baker. But we're going.
No, that's fine. No, he wanted to talk about a different subject, and because right. of his passion, we had that conversation. Tell me what.
Oh yes.
I hope you want to talk about Governor Baker. Go ahead.
I do. I will definitely vote for him again. I am an independent now, unenrolled. I think he's done a very, very good job in a hard situation with the pandemic. He's had to make a lot of hard decisions about, you know, what to close, what to open, what to do next. And he makes his decisions, I believe, based on the numbers, because he is a businessman. And that what I think guides him, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I mean, I'm trying to remember, it was a while ago. I believe I read it, it must have been in the Globe, that he actually contacted Bob Kraft about getting the Patriots jet to go to China.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It wasn't done by our company.
It wasn't done by what company?
our country. It wasn't like it was what something he dealt with Bob.
Yeah,
Kraft.
No, it was between him. I believe it was between him and Bob Kraft, and I think. I don't know that they were actually able to come back with the exact N95 masks that they wanted, but they came back with some masks which at that time were critical and were needed, and you know that
correct.
Takes us back to last spring. So no, that's so you said that you're unenrolled. Were you at one point either a Democrat or a Republican?
Democrat.
And so you.
But then I kind of got like tired of the party line, truthfully.
Okay. Well, you then are the independent, maybe more moderate voter that I think Charlie Baker appeals to.
And like I said, I think he's done a very good job. But you know what? I wouldn't blame him when everything gets back to the new normal. Yeah. He doesn't say, I've had it. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I would think this has to be pretty tiring. And my sense is I don't think he will be running for
that's going to be a loss.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
he's done a very good job.
There will be others, I'm sure, who will stand up. I think Maura Healey will probably want to run. I suspect Karen Polito, the lieutenant governor, will want to take a shot at it.
Right.
All right, Gene, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking time to call. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Have a great night. Let's go next to Tim in Winchester. Tim, Charlie Baker for a third term. What say you?
No, I don't think so.
Did you vote for him before?
I'm unenrolled.
Okay, that's okay. Did you vote for him before?
Yes.
Both times he was elected?
Because I thought he... the second time I did too.
Huh, okay. And so what is it about this time, if he chose to run, that has turned you off? Just been there too long, or is there something that...
No, he won't come on your show.
He hasn't been on my show in a long time, which is his loss, to be honest with you. He has a press staff which has decided to keep him at press conferences and not talk to listeners, which I think is a huge mistake.
No, he goes on NPR.
Well, you know, maybe they guarantee...
They
I don't know what they do.
Him hard. You know, they don't question him hard like you do.
Could be. I know this, that people with Mayor Walsh and with Attorney General Healey and others, Congressman Steve Lynch and others who come on, they just take the calls as they come in. It's as simple as that. Okay, Tim, well, thank you very much for letting me know that. That's I appreciate that. Hopefully he will.
I'm pretty passionate about it.
I am too. I am too. Thanks, Tim. Thank you so much. Talk soon. Have a great night. Going to get Ed in Worcester in here. Ed, Charlie Baker, if he decides to run, first of all, do you think he will run for third term? And if he decides to run, will you support him?
Well, no, I'm not going to support him. But I think he probably should. I don't see what else he should do. But I was going to make a suggestion to him. If he runs, he should switch parties like John Lindsay did, because I think he could get the Democratic nomination and he'd eliminate – that would be his only serious competition. And he probably fits better with the Democratic Party.
Well, that's very interesting. That's an interesting strategy. I hadn't even thought of that. I do remember John Lindsay, who had been, you know, a Republican, a New York Republican, kind of a Nelson Rockefeller Republican. Yeah, that's an interesting suggestion. Huh.
Yeah, I think that offers a better chance for later on career advancement, like with Biden or, you know, running for the Senate or whatever.
Yeah, well, that if he was elected as a Democratic governor here and then he wanted to go and maybe think about 2024, because Joe Biden is not going to run for re-election. We're told he pledged to one term. Interesting.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right.
I want to get one more in. You always come up with interesting ideas and interesting spin on something. I really appreciate that. I had not even thought of that.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Ed. Talk to you soon. Have a great night. Good night. Palmer. Palmer, you next on Nightside? I'm sorry. We were trying to sneak one more call in there. I guess not. I'm sorry if I misread that. That is it for the... For this hour, we'll be back right after the 9 o'clock news, and I said we will be talking with evangelist Alveda King. She is a reverend and a doctor, and she will be talking about her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King, who of course birthday is not today, but we celebrate his memory and his legacy today, and we will look forward to I'm talking with her, and we'll also talk with Horace Cooper of Project 21. So those of you who want to talk a little bit about the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, feel free to dial away. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. It's Nightside with Dan Ray. Rob Brooks is off tonight, but we are blessed to have Andrew Rich taking your phone calls. Give Andrew a call and treat him right. Coming back on Nightside.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.